Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. Our guest this week is North Carolina Republican David Rauser, who stops by for a chat about the Farm Bill and where things stand on government funding. But first, here's this week's headlines. Grocery prices are up for the second straight month, according to the latest Consumer Price Index. Prices were higher in the meat case and bakery, while egg, dairy, and cereal prices all fell. Egg prices are seeing the sharpest decline, down by more than 18% over the last year. The overall CPI was up by more than 0.5%, mainly due to a rise in gas prices. The Department of Labor wants to add more layers of protection and more timely pay increases for workers enrolled in the H-2A visa program. A new proposed rule from the department would add new protections for worker self-advocacy and guard against retaliation to make the recruitment process for foreign workers more transparent. The department also wants new wage rates to be applied immediately, rather than weeks later after publication in the Federal Register. DOL plans to hold a 60-day public comment period on the rule. And finally, Capitol Hill's August recess is over, and all eyes are on lawmakers working to avoid a government shutdown. If Congress cannot pass the appropriations bills that fund the government by October 1st, there will be a government shutdown. The House was slowed in its efforts to move a defense spending bill when Republican leaders pushed back a procedural vote on the measure. The Ag Appropriations Bill still hangs in limbo in that chamber after being kept off the agenda in July. David Rauser is a senior Republican on the Ag and Transportation and Infrastructure Committees in the House. He says GOP leaders are working through several barriers to moving appropriations bills.
This I know. You have leverage if you're unified. You have no leverage, particularly in terms of negotiating with the Senate and the White House, if you're not unified. And obviously, in the House, we have a conference on the Republican side that has a lot of different viewpoints as it relates to what spending should look like moving forward. And my hope is that we can come to some agreement on a CR and perhaps even get an appropriations bill off the floor between now and September 30th. But obviously, we have that September 30th deadline. We're going to have a CR of some sort. And the question is, do we do a clean one? Do we do one that attaches some key conservative priorities, such as border security and some immigration reform, which is starting to play really heavy in key Democrat districts and states across the board? So we'll just have to wait and see how this plays out. But obviously, that's the fundamental question of the day. And if I had a crystal ball, I'd probably resign from Congress and go make a lot of money.
So obviously, that September 30th deadline you mentioned is right around the corner. Should folks in rural America be worried about the prospects of a government shutdown?
Well, I think it's certainly possible, if not probable, given where we are today. But I still have confidence and belief that we can get something worked out by September the 30th. That certainly is the desire of the vast, vast, vast majority of the Republican conference. And of course, our margin is very tight. So we need more than just a majority of the Republican conference. We need almost all members of the Republican conference to come to agreement.
So zooming out from this specific appropriations package and process and looking at, spending more broadly, the Farm Bill, of course, under consideration. I want to spend quite a bit of time talking with that subject with you, because we look at the Farm Bill being under development within the House Ag Committee and the Senate Ag Committee, and a lot of folks are pushing ideas that are frankly going to cost money and more money than you've got in the Farm Bill. And so if some of these priorities are to be pursued and new money is potentially going to be added into the bill, how would, Republicans go about justifying something like that in a climate where there's so much concern about federal spending, so much consternation about government programs within, the Freedom Caucus wing of your conference?
Well, first of all, a really good, strong farm bill, and the farm bill does, farm law does need to be reauthorized, obviously, and strengthened in accordance with the new challenges that growers across the country face. Obviously, that's going to require some more funding. And obviously, policy is dictated by the amount of funding that can be found. And I know our chairman and others are looking for additional funds so that we can make improvements to that safety net. And one of the things I share with my colleagues in the House and to a degree in the Senate as well, when I talk to them, is there's nothing more America first than a good, strong farm bill that protects America's producers, who, by the way, face a number of challenges that you don't face in other industries and direct threats that other industries don't necessarily face. Farmers, there's a lot of X factor out there, not just weather, not just pests, not just disease, non-tariff trade barriers, currency manipulation, unfair trade practices, you name it, that our farmers and farm families have to overcome on a daily basis in order to make ends meet and survive. And so a good, strong farm bill is very much America first. And I think it's important to stress that all along the way.
We'll have more with Congressman David Rauser right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of our space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
At Clean Fuels Alliance America, we're working toward a future of clean energy now that will make our members proud. We serve as the clean fuels industry's primary organization for technical, environmental, and quality assurance programs, and are the strongest voice for its advocacy, communications, and market development. With industry-leading programs and incentives, Clean Fuels Alliance America is actively moving the clean fuels industry forward toward a brighter future.
Welcome back. North Carolina Republican and House Ag Committee member David Rauser says he has many producer-centric priorities headed into Farm Bill reauthorization.
Strengthening that safety net. And of course, when we do our visits all around the country, our Ag Farm Bill listening sessions, adjusting that reference price, seems to be a strong consensus point among farm families all around the country. And so I think there's going to be great emphasis, on that. I think a number of members have a number of different, items that they would like to see included in the Farm Bill. But the basic structure in terms of preserving crop insurance, enhancing the crop insurance products that are out there and the safety net that's out there, I think that's the main focus. And that's where the additional dollars, are going to go.
Mm-hmm. Let's drill down on one specific provision and one specific marker bill introduced on the Farm Bill, and that's the EATS Act, a piece of legislation that you co-sponsor. Of course, that bill, for those that might not be familiar, would override provisions like California's Proposition 12 and the animal housing standards that it requires of pork producers in your district looking to sell into California. But it's one of those things where maybe the political spectrum is not a straight line, it's a circle, and you've got folks on the far left and the far right maybe in alignment, in opposition to that bill, as folks on the far right express some states' rights concerns. How do you go about overcoming those states' rights concerns in your efforts to work that bill into the Farm Bill?
The one thing I would say, and I would find it hard to disagree with this, is if a farmer has complied with all permitting, all regulatory, issues, good farming practices, et cetera, there ought to be some legal safe harbor there, so to speak, where, they can sell their product in any state, in the union. I definitely think there's a interstate commerce issue there. Obviously, the Supreme Court, looked at it a little bit differently. And of course, in North Carolina, we've experienced, where the trial lawyers come in and they try to take down, key industry segments. And so part of my viewpoint is based on that experience in North Carolina, as well. But hopefully we can come up with a bipartisan solution there that's incorporated in the Farm Bill. My assumption is, and I know the chairman is committed to having a bipartisan bill come out of the committee. Once it comes out of the committee and hits the floor, we'll see what happens. And particularly if it's an open rule and anybody can offer any amendment, it may very well go the way of the NDAA, where it came out very bipartisan out of committee. When it hit the floor, a lot of poison pill amendments ended up being adopted. And so it ended up being more of a partisan vote on the NDAA. Farm bill may take a similar track, but the key is to get something out of the House so that we have something to negotiate with the Senate on.
I want to wrap up very quickly here on a very complex subject here, but the Waters of the U.S. rule. We saw the Biden administration drop new language on that. I wonder, with their new final rule, what do you think should be the role of Congress in getting farmers a definition that they can understand, that they can rely upon, and that is simple to negotiate and understand in farm country?
Yeah, well, there's a pretty strong divide, in Congress on what a Waters of the U.S. Should be. Most of us on the Republican side, the conservative side, that represent the vast majority of planted acres all around the country, I might add, are very much attuned with the Scalia version of what that WOTUS definition should look like. Obviously, the Sackett decision we felt was a very, very good move. A very positive outcome. The new rule that is in effect now complies with the bare minimum that the Supreme Court ruling put in place. But I think there's still a great deal of ambiguity and with respect to some aspects of it. And I think ultimately you're going to see a number of lawsuits, and this probably get relitigated all the way back to the U.S. Supreme Court for further clarification.
Congressman Rauser, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back to hear from this week's panel, but first, our Hannah Pegel walks us through some trade promotion figures in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
The Market Access Program and the Foreign Market Development Program are two of the most familiar ways to promote American agriculture overseas. MAP funding is currently capped at $200 million annually, while FMD funding is limited to $34.5 million. Let's take a look at MAP and FMD funding allocations for fiscal year 2023. MAP funding topped $175 million this year. Some of the biggest checks went to the U.S. Meat Export Federation and Cotton Council International. For FMD, funding topped $27 million, including nearly $7 million to the American Soybean Association and just under $4 million to U.S. Wheat Associates. Leaders of the Senate Ag Committee have asked USDA to consider using the Commodity Credit Corporation to support ag export promotion. Using the CCC could be even more critical if Congress does not pass a new farm bill by the end of the year. Bill Thompson has more in his story on AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pagel.
Who mapped the soybean genome? You did. Who's replacing the petroleum and asphalt? You are. Who created biodiesel that increased your income 63 cents per bushel? You again. When you pool your resources through your soy checkoff, you're making sales, you're making breakthroughs that all come back to your bottom line. That's you. That's who. As your soy checkoff, moving soy forward, moving you forward.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers. Excited to be joined by two panelists to help us digest the week's news, joined by Ann McMillan of Invariant and Deb Calhoun with Waterways Council. Appreciate both of you taking the time to join us. And Ann, I want to go to you first, because we look at the fact that this week in particular, the month of September, haven't seen a ton by way of legislative action, which really you could probably say for a lot of the year. And this was a year when folks were maybe looking at moving a farm bill, doing some other big legislative activity. I guess I say all of that to ask you, how has your farm bill timeline changed throughout the year? And I guess, where does it sit now?
My farm bill timeline hasn't actually changed all that much. I have been saying since the beginning of the year that I thought this, to do it by September 30th, was going to be optimistic at best. And so I had already been mentally preparing myself, my clients, the folks that we work with, that end of year at best. I still am looking into the first or second quarter of 24, to be quite frank.
So I guess looking at one of this week's developments, we did see Republicans in the House opt to move forward with an impeachment inquiry into the president. And we're not going to go too deep into the weeds on that. This isn't really the forum for it. But I do wonder, when you look at the broader legislative contours of Capitol Hill, the fact that an effort like this is ongoing, what role do you think that plays in the decision-making process for some of the more moderate Democrats who might be inclined to support provisions like a farm bill, like an ag appropriations package? What do you think this does to their decision-making process on whether or not to vote in favor?
The last thing that Congress needs right now to increase its functionality is an impeachment debate, I think. I think that doesn't usually help move things along or instill a sense of bipartisanship. So I'm a little concerned that it could derail kind of the fragile bipartisanship that is actually happening within the Ag Committee on the House and in the Senate. But, you know, those decisions to proceed with impeachment are well above my pay grade. And I appreciate that that's not going to be the focus of our conversation here. But yeah, it's not a really good sign, to be quite honest. And I think it's going to kind of gum up the works even further.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's shift gears and look at the appropriations process and some sort of a lack thereof on progress on that front here, Deb. This week, we did see, a vote on the air, procedural vote, mind you, on a defense authorization or, appropriations package delayed in the House of Representatives. The possibility of a government shutdown looms every day that we get closer to September 30th. I guess when we look at the nation's lock and dam system, what would a government shutdown mean for that system and the folks that utilize it?
Well, a shutdown would be extremely detrimental to the inland waterways, every navigation project, and really every infrastructure project that is under construction throughout the country is in risk of, like its namesake, literally being shut down and all work stopped. But I think equally problematic for the inland waterways is the idea of enacting a long-term continuing resolution. Because CRs use what is called the least of rule for the Army Corps of Engineers Civil Works budget. So in the President's FY24 budget request, the Army Corps of Engineers requested $0 be spent on inland waterways construction. And so essentially they said they didn't have the capability to do meaningful new work in fiscal year 24, citing workforce challenges and supply chain delays. So really a long-term CR would mean that until our energy and water appropriations bill is enacted, $0 would go to inland waterways navigation project construction.
We'll have more from our panel right after this.
Did you know AgriPulse has all your favorite podcasts, including Open Mic, Newsmakers, and Drive Time? Take us wherever you go. Subscribe at agripulse.com or on Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Welcome back. The nation's lock and dam system has long struggled to get adequate government funding for proper maintenance. But Deb Calhoun with the Waterways Council says there has been some progress on that front.
The Corps has been woefully underfunded for many, many years in its civil works mission. So our Waterways Council's mission is to advocate for full and efficient funding for the Corps to be able to maintain and modernize the lock and dam infrastructure on the system, which is so critically important to our ag community and to all of our shippers of key commodities and certainly to the nation and to competitiveness in the world market. Over the last 10 fiscal years, we have seen appropriated funding on the rise. Healthy amounts going to the Corps and also for operations and maintenance that funds the key work that we're seeing happening now in terms of dredging and low water situations that are occurring throughout the system right now. So that's a good sign. And yes, we received $2.5 billion in funding in the IIJA, the infrastructure bill, which was a great shot in the arm for the inland waterways. We're used to dealing in M's, not B's. So $2.5 billion was terrific. That was a 400% increase above the last infrastructure package, which was in 2009.
Let's take things outside of the DC Beltway for a second here. In terms of the actual operation of the system, we have seen water level issues in recent years. I'm wondering, as folks look to get their grain out of the fields and harvest this fall, are any potential concerns that your members are telling you about in terms of getting that grain down to export terminals here this fall and winter?
Well, we are seeing low water again, about a month earlier than we have seen it in the past. However, the Corps, as I mentioned, their dredging operation is very proactive. So they are dredging about 11 hot spots that are popping up and that sort of continue to pop up. We had historic low water last year as well. The Coast Guard is working very well with the Corps and with industry to make sure that light loading is taking place on barges. There are some 24-hour restrictions in place where traffic stops while dredging of those hotspots can take place. But, you know, even in historic conditions last year, every product was delivered to its buyer. And so we expect the same to happen this year.
Mm-hmm. And I want to wrap up the conversation with you because there's no shortage of things to watch on Capitol Hill. You know, maybe not necessarily legislative progress, but behind the scenes activity, public statements from key figures. What are some of the things that you're going to be keeping a close eye on as you gauge the prospects for legislative action, specifically on rural issues between maybe, you know, now and December 31? What do you think are going to be key factors for the rest of the year to watch?
Well, I think with respect to the Farm Bill in particular, it's money. So I'm watching very closely what the four corners, particularly Chairwoman Stabenow and Chairman Thompson, are saying about money, because I do think that is the real hangup right now in order to advance the ball and really get down to start brass tacks negotiating on the Farm Bill. So that's one for sure. I agree. I think that with others here today that the government shutdown would be hugely problematic to a number of rural priorities, from everything from locks and dams to national parks to, you know, rural development programs. And I think, you know, we need to keep a very close eye on how long and how widespread a government shutdown would be, and really keep a close eye on that, those impacts for rural America.
Two legislative weeks on Capitol Hill yet to figure out that prospect, whether or not a shutdown is going to be taking place. We will be watching that very closely, as will Ann and Deb. Folks, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers. But first, our Hannah Pegel walks us through some priority projects for the nation's lock and dam system in this week's Map It Out.
The Army Corps of Engineers is responsible for upgrading and improving the lock and dam system in rivers across the country. That system helps grain and other exports flow down to the nation's ports, and key farm inputs and other imports can come back up. But much of this infrastructure is outdated and badly in need of repair. The fight to secure funding for those repairs is an annual debate on Capitol Hill. This map shows some of the Army Corps' highest priority projects. They range from Pennsylvania to Illinois to Kentucky. Most of what you see are plans for newer, bigger locks. Other projects might include things like dredging the river. With upgraded locks and deeper rivers, more cargo can be transported, which means more goods can reach the Gulf of Mexico and more profit for farmers across the country. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pegel.
Who mapped the soybean genome? You did. Who's replacing the petroleum and asphalt? You are. Who created biodiesel that increased your income 63 cents per bushel? You again. When you pool your resources through your soy checkoff, you're making sales, you're making breakthroughs that all come back to your bottom line. That's you. That's who. As your soy checkoff, moving soy forward, moving you forward.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Thanks again for tuning in for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. Congress will have two legislative weeks to find a government funding fix. A Senate Environment and Public Works Subcommittee will hold hearings Wednesday on drinking water infrastructure and tribal communities. And finally, USDA will roll out monthly reports on livestock slaughter and cattle on feed. We'll keep you up to date with our coverage on AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one. Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit AgriPulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.